Namaho Radhika Madhava Sham Prabto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tangato Smi Andeham Shri Guru Shri Atakparakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Varjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Pitam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from The Nectar of Devotion by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, which is a summary study of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I'll read just the first two paragraphs from chapter 21, which is called Qualities of Sri Krishna. Personal features can be divided into two. One feature is covered and the other feature is manifested. When Krishna is covered by different kinds of dress, his personal feature is covered. There is an example of his covered personal feature in Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with his Dwaraka Leela, his residence in Dwaraka as its king. Sometimes Lord Krishna began to play by dressing himself like a woman. Seeing this form, Uddhava said, "How wonderful it is that this woman is attracting my ecstatic love, exactly as Lord Krishna does. I think she must be Krishna covered by the dress of a woman." One devotee praised the bodily features of Krishna when he saw the Lord in his manifested personal feature. He exclaimed, "How wonderful is the personal feature of Lord Krishna! How his neck is just like a conch shell! His eyes are so beautiful as though they themselves were encountering the beauty of a lotus flower. His body is just like the tamal tree, very blackish. His head is protected with a canopy of hair. There are the marks of Srivatsa on his chest, and he is holding his conch shell. By such beautiful bodily features, the enemy of the demon Madhu has appeared so pleasing that he can bestow upon me transcendental bliss simply by my seeing his transcendental qualities." So it's very nice to hear about Krishna. That's what you say. And I agree. So thank you for giving me the chance to speak something about Krishna, because not everyone's interested in hearing about Krishna. Most people aren't interested in hearing about Krishna. Only very fortunate people are interested in hearing about Krishna. Most people are interested in hearing about other people who are not devotees. Apparently there's some internet site on which there are 20,000 biographies. And none of them are about Krishna. I mean, I didn't check it, but I presume none of them are about Krishna. Even some people who write about Krishna, they shouldn't write about Krishna. Isn't it? Everyone should discuss about Krishna. Is that right? But some people shouldn't do, because they do so in a wrong way. Just like there was one Bengali writer who's famous even today among Bengalis, Bankim Chatterjee, who wrote a book called Sri Krishna Charit, and he showed it to Bhaktivinoda Thakur before publishing it, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to advise him that actually you got it all wrong. You don't know who is Krishna. So they shouldn't speak about Krishna. First one should hear about Krishna, then we should speak. because if we speak according to our mental concoction, then we'll get it all wrong. Some people say that Krishna never existed, he's just a figment of the imagination. Or some people will say that Krishna, he was a good philosopher. Some people say Krishna was immoral. Some people say Krishna is a transformation of Sat, of the impersonal Brahman or of Sattva Gun. These are all wrong ideas. Anyway, there's no doubt about it, even people who don't like Krishna, they cannot but admit that Krishna is something very special. Even if you say, I don't believe that any such person as Krishna ever existed, still, even taken as a phenomena of sociological study, the phenomena of Krishna is important because it's been a major subject of human attention for a very long time. So Krishna is important, one way or the other. It has to be admitted that Krishna is important. And of course, in Indian culture, the subject of Krishna is central. In art, music, dance, drama, literature, song, Krishna is at the center. So Krishna is very important. Krishna means all attractive. So that's why Krishna remains, even though there are so many kings come and go, so many upheavals in the world, but still the subject of Krishna remains a prominent subject, because that is the very meaning of Krishna, that he is attractive. What is attractive about Krishna? Everything about him is attractive. We cannot find anything about Krishna that is not attractive. You may say that, well, someone, they look very nice, they're very beautiful, and they perform lots of interesting activities, but their singing is horrible. There may be. It's difficult to find anyone with all good qualities except Krishna. We may say, well, this woman is very beautiful, but her character is very horrible. Or you may say, this woman is, her character is very good, but her bodily features are not attractive. So, if we try to find all good qualities in anyone, we won't find them, only in Krishna, and actually in his devotees also. But all good qualities reside in Krishna, and therefore, what's the name of Krishna? That means that all good qualities reside in him, and therefore he's attracted to everyone. Krishna, that's the name, it means all attractive. So everything about Krishna is attractive. And this chapter is titled Qualities of Sri Krishna. So, Naam, Gun, Roop, Leela. These are the four categories of realization of Krishna. By chanting the names of Krishna, then one becomes attracted to the person Krishna. Mayavadis, they may also chant the name of Krishna, and they may have some attraction to the person Krishna, but because of their wrong philosophy, they think that the person is not a person. So it's a very funny thing. The Mayavadis, they also do bhakti, but they're offering their devotion to someone who's not really a person. It's very difficult to understand. I can never understand. In Islam also, they pray to Allah, but then they say he's not a person. So it's very difficult to understand. I don't know what the answer to that is, if they have any. So Vacha and Vachak, this Rupa Goswami in his Srinamashtakam, praising the name of Krishna, describes these are the two principal forms of Krishna, Vacha and Vachaka. Vacha means the one who is to be spoken of, and Vachak is that which is spoken. So it means, generally speaking, it's like the person, Krishna, and his name, which are non-different. But of these two, the name is more merciful, because if we make offenses to the person, Krishna, then in his other form, which is non-different from him, by chanting his name, we become free from those offenses. So, by chanting the name, gradually as we become offenseless, then we appreciate the person. And the person, what is it about a person that we appreciate? Well, the qualities. Otherwise, you can get someone's CV, or biodata, as it's more commonly called nowadays. And you can say, born in Dehradun in 1987, height, weight, known diseases, educational qualifications, all this kind of thing. But it doesn't, in the biodata, you don't find what's the person like as a person. You may find someone who's very highly qualified, but they're not, you shouldn't qualify. Just on the CV, you won't appoint anyone for an important job. You have to interview them and try and get some idea of what kind of a person they are. Last time I was in Calcutta, in the newspaper, I was reading that although many Bengalis are highly qualified, they have high qualifications. It was Calcutta newspaper, so they're talking about Bengalis. It's that few of them, 5 dinar fine. Give them a 5 dinar fine. Phones off. Now we want to hear news from Vaikuntha. Cut off everything else. If you want to speak on your cell phone, kindly go somewhere else, because we don't want to talk about the material world here. So yeah, they're saying that even though many Bengalis are highly qualified, but they don't do very well in the corporate world. It said because of their lack of social skills, which means they don't know how to deal with people properly. They don't know how to interact with others in a manner that is conducive for cooperation. I'm not saying that to criticize Bengalis, I'm just quoting from a newspaper in Bengal. But in other words, the people they find it difficult to get on with. So Krishna is just the opposite. Not exactly social skills. In the material world, good qualities means how to deal with people in a way that you can, just like there was this book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, which was the first of a whole series of hundreds of books about how to behave with others in such a way that you can get the most out of them. And they discovered that the best way to do that is not to just squeeze them, but you do something for them and they'll do something for you. Mutual cooperation. And then you get your thing done. You get what you want done. So ultimately it's all selfish anyway. That's the nature of the material world. But that's one of the great qualities of Krishna. is that he has all good qualities, but he's not interested in exploiting anyone. He's completely selfless. So a person is attractive by their qualities and their activities. Nam, Rup, Gun, Lila. Again, someone may have very outstanding activities, but they still might not be very nice to deal with as a person. Some persons who are outstanding by their activities in recent history or in the history of the 20th century, Stalin and Hitler. There are many, many books written about these persons, and still they're very well-known names. So they performed exceptional activities, and they were very powerful. But they weren't very nice people. If we want to talk about the good qualities of Hitler, actually he was a vegetarian. I guess that's something almost approaching a good quality in a world full of meat eaters. Surprising, huh? He was a vegetarian. I guess he, not because of the principle of non-violence. It wouldn't seem that he was sworn to the principle of non-violence. I remember long ago, I was discussing about one devotee with another devotee, they'd asked me, do you know this devotee? And I said, yeah, I know him very well. He said, he sings so nicely. He said, he must be a very nice person. But actually, it's not necessarily true. It's just like a woman may look very beautiful and you think, she must be very nice, but it's not necessarily true. And often, actually, very beautiful women, especially in the free world, free society, where they have free scope to use their charms, they often do for their own personal gain, and sometimes they like to play with men. And like, you won't see this much in Indian culture, I suppose, but in the Western culture it's quite common. They'll kind of attract men deliberately and then throw them out just to be nasty, I suppose. They get some pleasure from that. But Krishna, getting back to the subject of Krishna, is not like that. His activities are far more glorious than those of anyone else. What to speak of some little Hitler or Stalin. Now, from our perspective, they don't seem like little people. They're very big people, very major people. But they're very small, even compared to the demigods. And the demigods are very small compared to Krishna. Krishna is so great. But in this book, The Nectar of Devotion, it's not very much discussed how he is great. All the scriptures of the world describe how Krishna is great and try to convince us that we should surrender to Krishna because Krishna is great and we are very small. There's always someone going in and out of here. Maybe they'd like to just come and listen to the lecture instead of disturbing it all the time. But Krishna is not like... Krishna is so great . But this book, The Nectar of Devotion, does not focus on Krishna's greatness in terms of his controlling, making universes, being the supreme Lord, worshipped by everyone. It doesn't focus on that. Because this is bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is concerned with rasa. And the rasa of considering Krishna to be very great, that's not, in terms of rasa, that's not a very high understanding. That is shanta ras. And that's on the borderline of being a rasa. Is it rasa or it's not much taste in just considering him to be great. There's a lot more taste in not considering him great. Jumping up on his shoulders. Who wants to jump on Krishna's shoulders? Be careful now. Great devotees in Sakya Ras, they may jump on Krishna's shoulders, but that's not for everyone. One has to actually be intimate with Krishna in that relationship to do so. What to speak of kissing Krishna, as the gopis do. Mother Yashoda, she's also a gopi, she also kisses Krishna. But in terms of rasa, considering Krishna great, that restricts the flow of loving exchange. That's why I was saying that. I wasn't talking about that last night. But who is supreme, Narayana or Krishna? Well, both, they're, because they're the same person. But if we say who's the original and greatest form, well, some people will say Narayana. That's true. If we consider in terms of manifestation of greatness. Actually, even in terms of manifestation of greatness, Krishna is more than Narayana. But Narayana always shows this mood of dignity, opulence, and greatness. That is his distinguishing characteristic. But Krishna, he doesn't show that. And he often appears to be very ordinary. Just like playing with his friends, some of whom may jump on his back. So Krishna appears to be very ordinary. But if we consider from the platform of rasa-vichara, then Krishna is supreme. Because in relationship with Narayana, that goes only in 2.5 rasas, except for Lakshmi. But for most devotees, they cannot aspire beyond shanta ras, the simple appreciation of Krishna. Dasya ras, the mood of service to Krishna. This is the predominating rasa in relationship with Narayana. Most devotees, they identify themselves as their servant, which is very good, we're not saying it's bad. Although Raghunath Das Goswami, from that high platform, he says, well, you better be careful, otherwise you might fall down to Vaikuntha. So we're just trying to get up, but there we go again. Then there's also, when you say 2.5 rasas, the third rasa is Sakya ras, but that's also divided into two parts. That is Sagaurav Sakya, it means to be friends with someone, but at the same time aware of their greatness. Just like you might be friends with the Prime Minister of Bahrain, I think, or you may have some friendly relationship with him. But at the same time, you always have to remember he's the prime minister. So, especially in public, you don't go around slapping him on the back. And even in private, you have to be a little cautious, because you know he may be your friend and you can have a little joke, but you have to be a little careful. You can't go too far, because he is, after all, the prime minister. But there's another level of friendship, Vishramba, which means without any consideration of his greatness, or practically not even any knowledge of it. That's how the cowherd boys, in playing with Krishna, sometimes they jump on his back. And they don't think he's God. If they thought he was God, how could they do that? They couldn't. And even though they may be somewhere dimly aware that he's the Supreme Lord, when they see demigods praying to him every day, but to them, it doesn't really mean anything. When Krishna comes home from herding the cows in the evening, all the demigods line up on the path. Brahma, Shiva, and they all offer prayers to Krishna. And the cowherd boys, they think it's a big joke. And sometimes they also kneel down and start praying to Krishna. Oh, you're so great. Ah, ha, ha. They think they're just imitating the demigods. They're praying to Krishna in this way, and oh, they just think it's a big joke. And it's a subject of humor that anyone is being so respectful to Krishna, because they think, yeah, he's our friend. These demigods, they're praying to him, you're the supreme. They're a bunch of fools. They don't know. You know what they're talking about. I defeated Krishna in wrestling today. So they're calling him all powerful. Or even if they know that he's all powerful, it doesn't mean anything to them. It doesn't define their relationship with him. Just like the mother of the prime minister, her relationship with the prime minister is not defined by him being the prime minister. And as far as she's concerned, he's just her son, that's all. He may happen to be... She's, okay, it's good, he became the prime minister, very good. But, you know, if he doesn't speak to me properly, I'll slap his ear. It doesn't make any difference. He may be the prime minister, but when she sees him, she doesn't think, ah, the prime minister. It's my son. And, she'll tell him, you didn't speak properly in the parliament, you shouldn't be so rude. Yeah, but mother, you know, the way they were talking, I'm telling you. You see, what does she know about politics? She knows nothing, but anyway, she has to instruct her son. So, we accept Krishna as supreme Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We accept Krishna as supreme. All right. We accept Krishna as supreme. He may be supreme or he may not be supreme. That for the kind of devotion that Rupa Goswami is describing here, and describing which kind of devotion to enter into, Krishna's supremacy is not the defining factor. That we should understand, first of all, in bhakti. How great is Krishna? Why should we understand that? So we surrender to him, because there's no relationship with Krishna without surrender to him. How can the cowherd boys jump on the back of Krishna? Because they're completely surrendered to him. They don't even know all these terms or the end. They don't have an idea of exactly of surrender. But just all they want to do, all the devotees of Vrindavan, they're all just thinking how to make Krishna happy in all respects. So their surrender has come to such a concentrated point. It's completely part of their being. They don't see Krishna and think, oh, he's the Supreme Lord. Okay, I have to bow down. Or, he's the Supreme Lord. If I don't bow down, I'll go to hell. Okay, I better bow down. They don't think such things. They're just in such a close relationship with Krishna that they're only thinking how to make Krishna happy. And that becomes so natural to them that they can climb on his back. They're not thinking, I'm going to make Krishna happy. They may even be thinking, I'm going to show Krishna. He's not such a big guy. You know, he's always... everyone's saying, oh, Krishna's the greatest, but you know, I can show him. Everyone knows I'm stronger than Krishna. He's just a weakling. You know, they praise him, he held up this Govardhan hill. They didn't know I was standing there with my stick holding it up too. It was me, actually. And only Krishna got all the credit. Anyway, let him take it. You know, he's a little boy, so... He's younger than me, so you know, let him, it's all right. We like Krishna, but they don't know that actually, you know. I won't tell anyone, really. It was me who was holding up Govardhan Hill. That happened actually once when Krishna was holding Govardhan Hill. All the coward boys said, look, you must be getting tired holding it all that time. So just, you know, let one of us do it. Because if you can do it, we can do it. You know, we always defeat you in wrestling. Sometimes you defeat us, but mostly we defeat you. So, just let us do it. So Krishna said, maybe a few of you. All right, so they all held. Krishna let go for a second. Oh! Two. Okay, and then Krishna held it again. He is Govardhanadhari. Govardhana Dhari Hari. So this rasa, this exchange with Krishna. Now you may say, all right, well, the coward boys climb on his shoulder. I've used that example about 50 times already in this lecture. It's a very good example. It's a standard example given to show how in the freedom of exchange with Krishna, it's not inhibited by any thought of how great is Krishna. And that develops further into vatsa. Not exactly develops further, but a more developed stage of it is vatsalya rati and shringa or madhur rati. The sentiment toward Krishna or attachment toward Krishna as a parent or as an intimate lover. Now we may say, well, that's all right, but you know, there are plenty of boys who play in this world, and so they climb on each other's back, and there are plenty of parents, and there are plenty of lovers, so that's there in this world also. That is, but the intimacy of love between Krishna and his devotees, that is the source of unimaginable bliss. Happiness in this world, of course, that whatever happiness is in this world is a perverted reflection of the happiness of the spiritual world. But there is some happiness in family life. Otherwise, why do people get married? Why should you work hard on break your head all your life? I mean, yan maituna adigriha medhi sukham hitucham. The center of family life is sex, but that's insignificant. But if it's only sex, then there's no need to get married. Which is, as Prabhupada noted, then... That what is the use of keeping a cow if milk is easily available in the market? Why go to all the trouble of keeping a cow? So it's like that. In the modern world with free sex, people don't get married. Why should you have all the trouble of getting married if you can get what you want anywhere you want, anytime you want, anyhow you want? So why bother going to all the trouble of getting married? Well, there's there is a kind of pleasure in having children and having an ongoing relationship with your husband or your wife. So these exchanges are there. We can find them all in the material world. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhur, Madhurya. Those are all there. So what's so special about Krishna playing with his cowherd boyfriends? Or dancing with the gopis? I mean, that kind of thing goes on in this world also. But the difference is that in this material world, the pleasure is extremely limited. It's limited by the quantity of pleasure and the time also, because we may have a relationship with someone, but that is separation comes about due to the time factor, which destroys everything. And rasa arises in personal relationships. What kind of rasa can you have with a wall? You can't. There's no exchange of rasa with a wall. You might look at a painting and say, "Oh, that's very beautiful," but you can't have any. There's nothing which will. If the painting is of Krishna, that can give rise to feelings for Krishna. But the painting itself, you can't have a relationship with the canvas and the paint. So rasa is based on relationship. And again, we can have the relationship develops to the extent that of the qualities of the person and the activity, the qualities and the activities, all these, this name, form, qualities and pastimes, they're all interlinked. There's no Krishna's names, they're all based on his form, qualities and pastimes, isn't it? Just like we have the name based on the form, Shyama Sundara, Navamega Shyam, Tribhanga. These are all names describing the form of Krishna, Vanshidhari. Then his qualities, Kripamai, Dayamai, Madhurya Murti, Madhurya Vigraha. These are all names of Krishna describing his qualities and his pastimes, Liladha, Govardhana Dhari. These are names describing his pastimes, and they may be interlinked also, because the qualities, they become, yeah, these name, form, qualities, pastimes, they're all overlapping also, because the qualities of a person, they only become manifest in his activities. You say this person is very, very merciful and he just sits in trance all the time, then where's the opportunity for him to be merciful? If he never speaks with anyone or does anything, he just sits in trance, a yogi. So his mercy is manifested in his activities. Just like, for instance, Krishna is very famous for being very merciful. So what is an instance of his mercy? Well, there's millions of instances. One is that Bhomasura had kidnapped how many princesses? 16,000. Someone said 16,000, that's wrong. Someone said 16,108, that's also wrong. 16,100. So Krishna delivered them all, and then he married them all, which, that was very merciful, because if he hadn't married them, no one else would have married them. Because they're already used or contaminated. So that's an instance of Krishna's mercy. There are unlimited instances of Krishna's mercy. So his qualities become manifested in his pastimes. So in this way, the qualities and the pastimes are intimately linked. The qualities are manifested in his pastimes, and the pastimes, they are possible for Krishna because of his qualities. Now, some of his pastimes, they show his greatness, just like Srishti Leela. That's also called a Leela. How he creates the world. That's also one kind of Leela. And like that, killing Bhumasura, who was impossible to be killing so many demons, who was impossible to be killed by anyone else. Ravana couldn't have been killed by anyone but Rama. So he manifests his greatness, but also his pastimes, especially among all the forms, especially the form of Krishna, his pastimes, they manifest his qualities. And all of this, of course, Lord Ram has glorious qualities, and Krishna, who is not different from Ram, who is the origin of Ram, he also has unlimited qualities, but in the mood of Krishna, the qualities manifest in a different way. In the form of Rama, he's the king, and he's the protector and the shelter, and everyone appreciates him for that. He's very kind and loving, like a kind, loving, fatherly kind of person. Fatherly in the sense that he protects everyone, and he wants to see to their benefit. But Krishna, he sometimes appears to be acting in a different way. Sometimes he may appear to be very rude, very misbehaved, stealing butter. And he, however much the gopis try to prevent him from stealing butter, he'll still steal it. Somehow or other, whatever arrangements they make. So, Krishna's pastimes, because of being devoid of this mood of greatness, therefore they're most attractive. And because Krishna is the source of all qualities, and all qualities reside in him, therefore, the playing of ordinary boys cannot be compared to the playing of Krishna, and the pleasure that is generated among them cannot be compared to the pleasure that devotees perceive in playing with Krishna. Because Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. Rama means the reservoir of all pleasure. But that reservoir of all pleasure is actually manifested more in Krishna than in Ramachandra, Dasharathi, Dasharath Sutta. So often people ask us, when we say Hari Rama in the Maha Mantra, who does that Rama refer to? The answer is Krishna. Well, it's also Ramachandra and Balaram, even Parashuram you can think of, but ultimately, the ultimate Rama is Krishna. As Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. And that pleasure is most manifest in his, especially the Vraja or Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna. So this book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's about rasa. Rasa comes from from considering or thinking about the qualities and the name, form, qualities and pastimes of Krishna. And then if by hearing about that, one becomes attracted to that and one becomes qualified to actually enter into that. So that one is no longer just hearing about climbing on the back of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Would anyone like to hear any more? Yeah. Could you please turn your cell phones off, because I'm not full of all good qualities like Krishna, and I really don't like it when people can't be bothered to turn their cell phones off and disturb the class again and again. So what was I saying before we were disturbed yet again?
Rama.
Hmm? Yeah, so this is Rama.
Rama.
I went on ahead of that. Now Krishna, his Vraja pastimes especially. So we can actually enter into that. See, we all forgot. Not just personally thinking about or contemplating or remembering or praising, but not just, not when I say just, it's not a small thing to think about Krishna. It's a very highly elevated activity. But apart from hearing about the cowherd boys climbing on the back of Krishna, if we're particularly attracted to Krishna, the cowherd boy head, cowherding pastimes, we will also get the opportunity to do that ourselves. That's the whole point. This process of bhakti is to enter the pastimes of Krishna and join with Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada often said. By chanting Hare Krishna and serving Krishna, we will get the opportunity to see Krishna face to face and dance with him. So that is what the whole process of bhakti at our level is aimed at. Becoming attracted to Krishna, so that that attraction becomes so natural that we live with Krishna. Anyway, Krishna's everywhere, but we're not thinking of Krishna. We're attracted to the names, forms, qualities and activities of other persons. It is natural to be attracted to the name, form, qualities and activities of persons. If we don't become attracted to the names, forms, or if we don't awaken our attraction to the names, forms, qualities and pastimes of Krishna, we'll be attracted to the names, forms, qualities and pastimes of mundane people who appear to be attractive. Just like, I don't think there's anyone in the whole of India above the age of maybe 6 or 7 who has not heard of Amitabh Bachchan. Especially in North India. Maybe in Tamil Nadu they didn't hear of him. But they would have heard of some Tamil film star. So the tendency to worship someone, it's focused on film stars. Here's another one, household name in India, Sachin Tendulkar. You may ask, here's Bhakti Vikas Swami, what have I got to do with Sachin Tendulkar? Nothing. No interest in the person. But just the fact that I live in India, and I'm no interested in cricket either. Not from being a Paramahamsa, but I never had any interest in cricket. I thought it was a boring game. Even though I was brought up in England, I was interested in soccer. That was my Maya. So, he's so famous, everyone knows about him. And they'll have magazines coming out every week and talking about what does he like to eat for breakfast and what is his wife. He's probably got children. How many children has he got? No, you don't want to say. You don't, you don't, You don't want to show how much you know about it. I don't know. I actually don't know. I didn't go that far. Because I don't... But... What kind of food does he like to eat? I'm sure he's not a vegetarian. So, well, I'm not sure. He might be, but, you know, the average Marathi wala isn't a vegetarian. So people are attracted to glorify others. But they can't reciprocate with it. Well, there are various disadvantages to reciprocating or to glorifying persons other than Krishna. If we glorify Krishna, we go to Krishna and live eternally in happiness with Krishna. Unlimited happiness. If we glorify someone else apart from Krishna, we don't get the same result. However great a fan you may be of Amitabh Bachchan, one thing is, he's probably not going to be alive much longer. I mean, he must be, what, 50, well over 50 now. How old is he? 60 plus. And still going strong. But how much longer? How much longer can he go on? Or you might... Anyway, Amitabh, he may live for a very long life, and you might die before him. And by thinking of him, I have no idea what kind of birth you're going to get, but it's not going to be in the spiritual world. Because he's not there. You know, I'm not an enemy of Amitabh Bachchan. He's our neighbor in Juhu, actually. He lives close by, though he never comes to the temple, unfortunately. But he's a mundane person. And he may have good qualities, this, that. But he's not full of all good qualities, that's for sure. And he certainly can't reciprocate with all his fans. He couldn't even... If he said, okay, I'm going to sign the autograph book of all my fans, and, well, he'd have to manifest a ten-armed form, and even, which he can't do. And even then, he'd be busy for days and weeks and months. But Krishna, one glorious feature of Krishna is that he personally reciprocates with every single one of his devotees, and everyone feels fully satisfied in that relationship. Which is impossible. No one in this material world can fully satisfy even one other person. What to speak of unlimited others? The husband can never fully satisfy the wife can never fully satisfy the husband. Even in a very good relationship, there's always some glitch, whatever it is. So that tendency is to remember and glorify the names, forms, qualities and pastimes of someone. And we think someone is very great, but often Mukunda Maharaj, in the foreword to Science of Self-Realization, he wrote that he was... Before he came to Srila Prabhupada's shelter, one of Srila Prabhupada's first disciples, he had met so many famous people because he was a concert organizer, and the rock stars, very big, in the eyes of the many people, they were considered very, you know, these rock stars are really great people. You know, they make this music, and it's very appealing and attractive to certain people. Not everyone likes rock music, but there are some people who do. Many people who do. And therefore, those who are expert in performing rock music, they become heroes in the eyes of the fans. So Mukunda Maharaj, as a concert organizer, he had met many of these famous stars, and he said that, well, mostly they don't have any time for you. They don't have any time for their fans. They're not really interested in their fans as persons. And even if you do get to speak to them, they're always very busy and they don't have time. Or you may imagine, just like I was saying, one devotee was saying to me about another devotee, he sings very nicely, he must be a very nice person, which actually the two things don't necessarily go together. Someone can sing very nicely, and it might seem as if they're full of prema, but when you actually meet them, you find that they're not such wonderful people. So actually, in bhakti, more important than singing nicely is to behave as a devotee. Sometimes we see even among devotees that someone may sing very nicely, and they become a little proud of that, and they look down on others, and they might be not exhibiting the qualities that you might expect of them. So Mukunda Maharaj was saying that, you know, you think this star, this rock star, might be such a great person. Then you meet them, they're not very nice. Or they may be not, but they might just be pretty ordinary. I mean, they sing in such a way that you see they got a lot of feeling, but when you meet them, they're just kind of really ordinary people, you know. Nothing. They have to put on a show of being something very special. But Krishna, he's always putting on a show, but Leela means a drama. It's like a drama. But he's not duplicitous. He is genuinely concerned about all his devotees. And he is full of love. He is Akhila Rasamrita Sindhu. He is the reservoir of all, or the ocean of nectarian mellows and tastes. So there is a tremendous difference between the jara rasa, or the mundane rasa, that is produced from mundane relationships and dealings, and the transcendental rasa, which is the actual rasa, no, of reciprocating with Krishna, and especially with Krishna. Because Krishna has so many forms. Here is Dasavatar. This is who's that after Ram? Krishna and Balaram, is it? No. Oh, I see. Yeah, because there are different sampradayas have different ten avatars. So some don't include Buddha. Some don't include Balaram, they have their own different ideas. So this is according to Dashavatar Stotram. So there are many different forms, but none reciprocate as fully as Krishna, because Krishna, his qualities and his pastimes, they are incomparable. Narayana, his qualities are incomparable. Oh, well, we can say they're comparable, but there's a vast gulf, just like we may say someone is very good looking, but they cannot be as good looking as Narayana. Or someone is very powerful, but they cannot be as powerful as Narayana. But in the same way, between Narayana and Krishna, then Narayana is very beautiful, he's not as beautiful as Krishna. He's very powerful. He's not as powerful as Krishna. In terms of power to control the universe, is yeah, as powerful. But devotees who are following Rupa Goswami, they're not very much impressed with that. The attractiveness to attract all the three worlds by his qualities, his beauty, that they consider, that's very powerful. The gopis, they were not interested. When they saw Narayana, when they saw Krishna posing as Narayana, they said, Om Namo Narayana. Lord Narayana, you're the Supreme Lord. Can you do one thing for us? Tell us where is Krishna. They weren't interested that you now give us mansions and money. Where is Krishna? Can Narayana give Krishna? No. We have to go to his devotees. Of course, Narayana also considers himself a devotee of Krishna. So these are all very elevated topics. How attractive is Krishna? Krishna is all attractive. How attractive is he? That is very difficult to ascertain, because he attracts even Lakshmi, who's the wife of Narayana. She thinks, well, I should go and join Krishna also. She cannot. She's not qualified. She's not qualified to join Krishna in Rasalila. He attracts Radharani. Now that shows, what is the ultimate proof that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because he is Radha Krishna. If we can understand the qualities of Radha, then we will understand how great is Krishna, because only Krishna attracts Radha. That is the ultimate proof. And that's why in other sampradayas they cannot understand how great is Krishna. Only the Gauriyas can understand how great is Krishna, because he can attract Radha and she attracts him. She attracts him and he attracts her. That is the mutual proof of their greatness, because there is no higher principle than them. So what are the qualities? This chapter is entitled The Qualities of Sri Krishna. So what are those qualities? They will be described, 64 qualities, analyzed. Of course Krishna has unlimited qualities, but these are being analyzed, and by hearing about them we become attracted to Krishna. And if we're attracted to Krishna, then everything is perfect. So we should hear about Krishna, his name, form, qualities, pastimes. We should hear how great is Krishna. Again and again we should try to understand how we are subordinate to Krishna. Because if we don't understand that I am subordinate to Krishna, then we won't want to surrender to Krishna. We'll think, let me enjoy myself in this material world. I don't have to surrender to anyone. I'm okay. Ishvaraham aham bhogi, siddhoham balavan sukhi. I'm controlling. I don't need anyone to control above me. I'm enjoying. Why should I offer anything to Krishna? I'm perfect, I'm powerful, I'm happy, I don't have to surrender to Krishna. Meliye bhakti karna ka koi zarur nahi. There was a drama, I'll never forget that line. It's so nicely made in one of our centers. In Hindi, the drama, one happy family man, it was showing an ordinary man, the life of an ordinary man. First drama organized in Vallabhvidyanagar ISKCON, public drama, all the people came nicely dressed, and it showed an ordinary man, and he was sitting there merrily, a bhakti karna ka koi zarur nahi hai, a acha kaam karta hoon, job karta hoon, biwi hai, bacche hai, merrily, and then he had a heart attack and went to Yamaraj. It's a really heavy drama. It was like all the public came and they're asking, well, is that just like me? Or yes, that's you. Unless you surrender to Krishna. So, we have to hear about the greatness of Krishna. But we should also hear about the sweetness of Krishna, the personal qualities of Krishna. Otherwise, we might end up something like the ordinary religionists, who they only hear about the greatness of God and they have no idea who he is or what he does. Or they say, love God. Who is God? Don't ask that question. You can't understand God. Alright, okay. But love him. Just like you're saying, you can't have a relationship with a wall. My dear wall, you're so beautiful and you have such a wonderful character. And it's not possible. There's nothing beautiful about a wall. There's nothing attractive about a wall. What is it about Krishna that makes the devotees mad about him? Why is it that for thousands, as I was saying, Krishna is very important? What is it about Krishna that makes him the subject of art, drama, music, poetry? What is it? We so many songs about Krishna going off to with the cows. I mean, there's so many people who go off with cows and look after cows. What is it about Krishna? Well, we have to hear from Rupa Goswami about the extraordinary qualities of Krishna that attract devotees. We have to hear about the greatness of Krishna, otherwise people will hear about him and say, oh, he's looking after cows and he's good looking. Well, looking after cows, that's not, you know, that's not very high class. It's like someone, I was telling someone you should wear a dhoti, and then he was saying, I don't wear a dhoti for, you know, look like a cow. Look like someone, like some cow herder or something like that. That's the whole idea. We're supposed to become cow herders in Krishna's pastimes. Serve Krishna in those pastimes. But generally it's not, you know, I don't look like a cow, guala, some, you know. I'm dignified, I'm respectable. So being a cow herder, well, that's not very impressive if you take it from the material point of view. And very good looking, yeah, well, you know, okay, but you can buy a magazine and you'll see so many good-looking people in the cinema magazine. So, okay, there's so many good-looking people. All right, Krishna's good-looking, so what? But then we have to understand... Krishna is the Supreme Lord. His good looks never diminish. And his good looks are such... Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. His good looks far surpass any of those that Amitabh Bachchan might have had at some point in time. I guess still somewhat good looking, even past the age of 60. And that good looks that far surpasses anything we can even imagine. So we should hear about the qualities of Krishna from Rupa Goswami, from Srila Prabhupada. But don't only hear about that. We have to hear the philosophical basis also. Otherwise we end up being cheap devotees. And we see there are many people in India today who like to hear about Krishna, but they don't like to hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and therefore their bhakti, it never becomes very... they never become very committed, because they think, well, it's just all, it's all about being nice, and how nice is Lala, and but the commitment that never comes because of the lack of philosophical depth. So both kinds of hearing are required so that we become committed to Krishna and attracted to Krishna's transcendental qualities. And once that attraction develops more and more, that will naturally carry us to Krishna, just like Krishna is like a magnet. So if there are flecks, iron filings that come within the range of the magnet, they just start to be attracted. But if they're far away, they might just move a little bit, but they don't go to the magnet. But once they become close enough, then they rush. And then they're irresistibly attracted to the magnet. So if we start to awaken our attraction to Krishna, madguna shruti matrena, then simply by hearing about Krishna's transcendental qualities, then we become attracted to Krishna in such a way that even attaining liberation becomes unattractive to us. The highest attainment is to go beyond, or generally conceived of as the highest attainment, is to go beyond attraction to mundane nam, rup, gun, lila, to mundane rup, sparsha, what is it? Rup, shabda, sparsha, drisha, rasa is one of the mundane tastes. So to go beyond the touch, taste, sound, smell, and the attraction to that, and to be liberated, but far, far beyond the platform of Gandha, smell is the other one. To go beyond all that and to become liberated, that is considered the highest attainment. But for one who becomes attracted to Krishna, then to them even liberation seems unattractive. Lord Kapilata says that Diyamanam nagrihnanti, my devotees, even if I offer them liberation, they don't accept it. Vinamat sevanam janaha, unless they have the opportunity to serve me. So, what is liberation? Not attractive. We want to serve Krishna, we want to be with Krishna. What's the use of being liberated? Ah, it's like hell. Kaivalya narakayate. Very sweet bell. Sound is pleasing to Krishna. When a class is going on, it's a good idea to ring it quietly. Or get a very small bell. So the qualities of Krishna, they are, and that's why the qualities of Krishna, they are more attractive than simply being liberated from attraction to mundane qualities. And that is why Atma Ramascha Muniyo Nigranta Apya Rukrume Kurvantya Haitukin Bhaktim Itam Bhuto Guno Hare. Because of the qualities of Krishna, they attract even liberated souls. Persons who are beyond mundane attraction, they become attracted to the qualities of Krishna. And that's why if we become attracted, we don't have to become, first of all, undertake any special sadhana to become liberated. Because if we cultivate, even in this bound condition, if we cultivate attraction for the transcendental qualities of Krishna, then automatically we become liberated from attraction to mundane qualities. So we should hear about Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is the perfect Shastra in all respects. It gives us the full knowledge of the greatness of Krishna, beginning from the first verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva, Janmadya Sayatonvaya, Dhitaratash Chate Spabignaswara. Even in the first line, there's more than all the theological, there's more knowledge than all the theological treatises of the world. But that gives us knowledge of the greatness of Krishna, and also simultaneously, Nigama kalpataro galitam phalam shukamakha damrita drava sangyatam pibita bhagavata rasam rasam alayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavaka. But in this book we are enjoined not simply to consider the greatness of Krishna, but enter the rasa of appreciating Krishna. And these two go on side by side from the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we become qualified to actually enter the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, then there is a forgetfulness of Krishna's greatness and appreciation of his extraordinary transcendental qualities. Not exact full forgetfulness, but just like that, like the Prime Minister's mother. It doesn't become the major factor in our bhakti. So let us become attracted to the transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna and not cultivate attraction for mundane film stars, sports stars, politicians, or anyone else. And although in this mundane sphere it is natural to be attracted to putra dara grihadishu, children, wife, home, and everything else that goes with it, we should know that our real attraction should be to Krishna. That we should. Does that mean we should all become sannyasis? In one sense, yes, but our ultimate aim is to be born in a cowherd family in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, and be intimately related with Krishna, to enter the family of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna shongshar karo, karo chari anacha. To enter the family of Krishna. To do that, we'll have to give up everything else which is opposed to that principle of entering the family of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is there any questions about this? Please ask me. Not now, after 5 minutes. Because I'm in the Maya Sangsara. And I have to do some duties related with that. In the meantime, maybe you could announce about these books and that scheme.
Yes, ma'am.
Wait a minute, if there are any questions about the class first, let's see if there are any questions about the class. Any questions resulting from the class? It's a very deep topic, so there may be many questions. Yeah?
Maharaj, can the conditioned soul, by his sadhana bhakti, reach the rasa of Sakya or any of the higher...
By sadhana, can a conditioned soul reach Sakya? You see, when we say by sadhana, yes, we can go anywhere. But the vital factor is the mercy of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Otherwise, by sadhana alone, it's a long, difficult process. So the sadhana, practically we can say all of that is to attract the mercy of Krishna and his devotees. When Krishna becomes pleased, he sees this person is sincerely trying to serve me. So all right, let him come. Otherwise, who's qualified to serve Krishna? Only because Krishna allows us to. Otherwise, we're very insignificant in comparison to Krishna. And Krishna doesn't need our service. So everything is Krishna's mercy ultimately. But yeah, there are certain activities which attract Krishna's mercy. If one eats meat, drinks wine, has illicit sex, and does gambling, and even worse, if one is offensive to Krishna and his devotees, directly offensive, then it's not going to attract Krishna's mercy. In general, of course, Krishna, he's not limited. He can give his mercy whenever, wherever, however, whoever. But sadhana is the declaration to Krishna that I want your mercy. Now, please reveal all these, I'm chanting your name. Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatale. Please reveal yourself. So sadhana, yes, sadhana is not useless. Sadhana is required. Without sadhana, then where's the question of advancement? At our level, bhakti means sadhana. We're on the level of vaidhi sadhana. We have to do sadhana, otherwise there's no bhakti whatsoever. But from that sadhana bhakti comes the higher levels of bhakti. Yeah, then any other questions? What's your question?
Being an insignificant soul in the karmic life, while we just read some episode from Srimad Bhagavatam of Jadbharat and Rahukun, and then they are discussing about how come you are so much blessed with these spiritual things, and then the solution is given.
You have to smear the dust of the devotees all over your body. Yes, one can achieve an elevated stage. Rahuganaita tapasa nayati nacheja nirvapanad grihadva nachandasa. What's the next word? Vinamahatpada rajobhishekam. That is not, one cannot achieve an elevated position simply by performing austerities or studying the Vedas, performing varnashram dharma duties. One has to smear one's body with the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. Yeah, but that shouldn't be pretentious. Nor should one think that the dust is, it's just something, okay, just take it very easily. That is exemplified by one's attitude of total surrender. Taking the dust of the devotee's feet means you put yourself figuratively totally below them. So if you just take the dust and but you don't care to surrender, then it's pretentious. If you think, okay, now I'll just take the dust and bust, my job is done. But that's indicating total surrender. And also we shouldn't think that, I'll just walk up and take some. No. You have to consider, are you qualified for that? It's not just such a cheap thing. Don't take it cheaply. Yeah, any other question?
Among the two types of people, the one set of people who do not believe in the form of the Lord, like Nirakara, another set of people who say,
Do you have another mic? Because not everyone can hear this, sure.
I'll repeat the question.
You can repeat it, but still there'll be others who will not hear it clearly. Then I'll have to repeat it. So say it as briefly as you can. Give the gist of it, which is the best way to say it anyway.
There are two sets of people. One set of people who believe that there is no form of the, do not believe in the form of the Lord. Another set of people who say that.
Or they say that the form of the Lord is subordinate to the, as you said, Nirakar. Then the supreme is ultimately without form.
Another set of people who say, I am God, you are God. Like we normally we see in Badrinath.
I am God and you are God. It comes to the same thing. It comes to the same thing. Because if we say that every form is God, that means there's no specific form. You're saying in Badrinath. Why in Badrinath? Everywhere. It's a different way of saying the same thing. If we say that there is no ultimate supreme form, ultimately, the Supreme has no form. That's what one class of people say. Another says, everyone is God. That means the same thing. Ultimately, no one's God. Because God means the Supreme. Supreme means above everyone. But if everyone's God, then no one's above anyone. That means there's no God. Comes to the same thing. Alright, so Hare Krishna, we'll start to wind this up. You probably have lots of rounds to chant. I do also. Yes.
So Maharaj, does every jiva has a constitutional position in the spiritual world in a particular manner?
Does every jiva have? Yes, everyone has their constitutional position in service to Krishna. Yes.
So if a person is in Shantaras before when he came back, came down, so when he goes back to the kingdom of Godhead, does he wave Shantaras only?
Will one be re-established? Yes. Mukti hit vanyata rupya swarupa inde vivastitihi. Mukti means, ultimately mukti means to give up the present forms which we have and be re-established in our constitutional position. Yes. That's the general case. Although there may be some shift, but generally not. This is maybe difficult to understand, all these topics, but this much we have heard from our acharyas, they have described like this. So let us go on discussing and hearing and remembering Vaikuntha Katha, topics of the spiritual world. Otherwise we'll be victimized by topics of this material world. Election Katha, Cricket Katha, Terrorist Katha. Well, as long as we're in this world, we have to be at least somewhat cognizant of it. But by hearing Vaikuntha Katha, we will live in the spiritual world, even while being within this material situation. Vamsidas Babaji, this book about, he was in this world. Yeah, although here's from the book. Although physically present in this world, he had little connection with it. He hardly spoke to anyone. He spoke to his deities. For him, there was no day, night, no time for eating, probably didn't eat. So, not imitable, but living in the spiritual world, even while within this world. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak about Krishna. I may also develop some attraction for Krishna by hearing this.